Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Ali Davidson. She's a best-selling author, transformational coach, international speaker, and dynamic presenter. She believes that we're all magnificent beings constantly evolving. Like the caterpillar who transforms into a beautiful butterfly, we have the opportunities to experience and expand into our true nature so we can become more. Her new book is Born a Betrayal. Ali, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose in helping people and becoming a transformational coach, because that's like a big word, you know, and it means huge things in people's lives. So how did that come about?
Oh, wow. So I guess it all started when I was born. No, I'm kidding. I am the oldest of three children in a home that was somewhat chaotic. I think most of us come from some kind of dysfunctional home. And so taking responsibility for my younger brother and sister and making decisions and doing things to distract my adults in the house and keep everybody safe was something I learned to do very, very young. I think that's when it began. When I look back over my whole life, it was all about empowering, and I didn't realize that until about 2 years ago, and that was such an interesting thing for me. So I had four children, and when they were little, I started a home daycare, and I studied child education, and my whole life was about my kids and little children, and so it was all about empowering kids and advocating for them. And then as they grew up, and my grandmother, who was one of my greatest teachers and mentors, was aging, my passion shifted, and I started an in-home care agency and taking care of seniors as they aged. And then later, about 6 years ago, my whole life shifted 360 degrees. I lost my home and my business, and I was betrayed by my husband and best friend, and a new passion evolved, and it was all about now helping women heal themselves and thrive after betrayal. And so, again, it's all about empowering. So if I had to put it in a nutshell, I'd say that my passion is about empowering people to be their best and to know they can create what they want no matter what life gives them.
That is so wonderful. So tell us a little bit about the book and what you hope readers will gain from reading the book.
The story of how the book came out is actually in the book, at the beginning of the book. It was one of those things that, I have to be honest, I didn't want to write. It was raw. I was going through my pain. And in a way, I was acting as my own coach, but I didn't realize it until the book was finished. And I saw that what I had done was basically dialogue with somebody, the reader, my spirit, who knows, what I was feeling at the time, and then the insights that came about. And one of the things that was different from this book than others is that as I wrote it, every time I started a new chapter, I would begin at the beginning of the book, and I would read everything I had written so far, and then I would write. And I would do that over and over and over. Again, I realized that I was able to see my own transformation as time went by. So what I hope people get from the book, number one, is to know that they're not alone in this, and that what they're feeling after betrayal is a really common feeling, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. What I found after I went through my experience and talking to so many people, so many women especially, a lot of them get stuck. They get either stuck in the anger and the bitterness, or they get stuck in coping strategies. And we can get stuck in those for years and years and years. And that will ultimately inhibit our ability to create the life we want and to love again and to trust ourselves, all very important things. And so that's my hope, is that they know they're not alone, they can see that there's a way out, and that they reach out to get the help to transform.
So, you know, particularly where trust is lost in any relationship, and now a lot of times tensions are pretty set in because of everything that's going on. And, you know, a lot of people have been kind of hibernating together and so forth. So when there is any kind of mistrust in any type of relationship, can you give a few tips on how to be able to heal yourself and do the right thing for you, but then also be able to trust again?
So if I understand the question correctly, because I think there's a couple of different questions in there. We're talking about people who may be in relationship right now through this time period when we are being careful and isolated somewhat, and it's not a good situation they're isolated in. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it could be really any time, but I think it might be a little more prevalent right now because of what's going on, that people are discovering things about their lives and one another and so forth. And some of it may be great and some of it may be not so great. So how do they gain enough of the confidence to be able to do the right thing for themselves and then recover on the other side of that in order to be able to trust again?
Well, one of the things that I found for myself and with clients that I've worked with is that trust is one of those things that people believe they either give right away, and then it's like, I will trust you until you do something that makes me not trust you. Or they take the other side of the coin, which says, I'm not going to trust you until you show me you're trustable. And what I found is both of those things are pretty meaningless. Unless you trust yourself. Because I always used to consider myself a very trusting person. I would trust everybody. And I actually patted myself on the back thinking, oh, you're so trusting and loving. But what I found was I did that because I didn't trust me. So I was giving my authority away all the time. And so I have learned that if I can count on myself, trust myself, trust my instincts, trust my gut, trust my knowing, trust what I've learned, trust what I feel, and express it in a very healthy way, then it doesn't even matter if the other person is trustable. And I know that's probably something nobody's ever heard before, but it's true. It doesn't matter if that other person is trustworthy if you yourself are listening to you. It's when we stop listening to ourselves and we make somebody else's word, somebody else's action more important and more valuable than our own to us that we run into trouble. So to answer your question about people who are now being isolated and secluded and forced into maybe a situation in which they're learning deeper things about each other that they didn't know before, communication obviously is the best way to build that bridge of who you are and who I am. We're two different people, and we're going to see things differently. We're going to feel things differently. We have different perspectives and point of views, but neither one of us is good or bad. Even if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you can still find the compassion within yourself to realize that somebody who lives a life through that perspective is someone who grew up in a lot of pain and used this as a mechanism to protect themselves. So when we come to understand others through our own compassion and we trust what we're getting internally from ourselves, we can withstand difficulties much easier than if we attack or feel attacked or feel there's either something wrong with them or there's something wrong with us. If we have to make a judgment, the minute we do that, all communication ends. The feelings are so hurt and we feel so distant and different that the best thing we can do is just go to our corners and stay there until we calm down. I hope that answered your question.
It did, very beautifully, and it's a very beautiful way to think of it, really. I tend to be a very trusting person initially, and I know for myself, if there are disappointments or whatever, that trust seems to wane, and I kind of sit back and look at that with more discernment. I don't look at things so discerning going in. I give everyone pretty much a clean slate, unless right up front, you know, there's an inclination that it shouldn't be there. But
it was just great. That's great if that person ends up being trustworthy, right? If that person is who you, if they are perfect, in other words, they almost have to be perfect in order for you to feel okay. And that's almost impossible because no one's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's the danger in that approach. The danger in the other approach of, well, you're going to have to prove it to me before I can trust you, means you're putting that person through a test all the time. And where do you end up at the place where now you can say to them, okay, you did enough. I can trust you now.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why it's so important that the trust is within me. I trust me. Then I don't have to make the decision about them. Then I get to just be in relationship with them, knowing that if something doesn't feel right, I have the words to say, hey, that didn't feel right. And if it feels great, then
exactly.
Great. You know? Yeah. So there you go.
Exactly. But, you know, I think it's interesting to kind of be able to wipe the slate, but still have, you know, expectations maybe of people being able to fulfill their word and their promises and so forth, but not be so emotionally involved that you take it personally. I love the idea that you were inferring, not really taking it personally, but be able to evaluate that going through life with people. You know, it's not always going to be one way or another. It's really very interesting. Tell me a little bit about the healing process. I think some people come out of relationships and they feel so damaged. How does the healing process work?
Well, for different people, it's different. I struggle with that myself as I try to explain to people if they ask me, well, what's your process? Because I meet the client wherever they are and coach them through the pain. What I will say is this. One of the things that I found when all of this happened to me and then later working with other women is that societally and in our culture, we don't really appreciate or allow women to be angry. She's a shrew. She's a, I don't know what words I can say on the radio, but you get it, you know. Women are not supposed to be angry. And so what happens when we are hurt, really hurt and disappointed, and our worldview is devastated, this betrayal just devastates everything about the world we knew because it like turns it upside down. Things are out of control. You don't know what to believe. What you thought you could trust, you can't. And you realize that you couldn't trust yourself because you never listened to yourself. You didn't see any of the clues along the way. And so you get to this place of complete helplessness, powerlessness, sadness. The way to get out of that first step is to feel the anger. And what I found is every time I started to connect to the anger of what happened to me, what I allowed, what my participation in it, every time I hit that, people would say, oh, no, 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 you have to forgive, you have to forgive. You're going to end up being bitter, let go, let it go. And I would be like, oh, gosh, they're right, listen to me. And I would dampen the anger, and then the only place left to go if you don't burn through the anger is back into helplessness. So the first step is to give yourself permission, a healthy and safe place where you can express that anger and let it out. And there's a whole chapter in my book about what happened and how I was able to release my anger. Once that happens, you're now able to access again some of the resources that you have internally that you haven't used in a really long time. And that would be the second step of healing. Ultimately, the answer is we have to learn to love ourselves, to trust ourselves, and to forgive ourselves. Because when we've done that, it's magic. It's miracles. The feeling inside is so wonderful that you can finally go out into the world and feel safe, feel like life is in control, feel like you have the power to make decisions, you can see the choices and you can respond correctly or adequately or efficiently or, you know, magically. So that ultimately is where we want to go. How we get there, the first step, like I said, feeling the anger. The second, third, fourth step, all about moving through that pain and letting go of the past, accepting where we are, seeing where we were also a part of the problem, where we didn't take responsibility for ourselves, where we allowed somebody else to devalue us because we didn't value ourselves. So it always comes back to us, always.
Isn't that true? You know, that's such a good example and lesson in taking ultimate responsibility for all of our actions and outcomes, really. And that's very empowering, I think.
It is, and it is not a helpful thing to hear when you're right at the beginning of the trail. The last thing you want to hear from people is, well, you know, there's two sides to every story. Yeah, no. And you know the reason, betrayal is one of the worst things that can happen to anybody, and 95% of us are going to go through some kind of betrayal in our lifetime, whether it's infidelity from a partner or a business partner who cheats on us or an employer who doesn't give us a raise they promised or a friend who lies to us or even our body that gives up on us with some kind of health issues. We're going to have something. The reason it is so hard, though, is because there's a choice in there. When someone chooses to betray, there was another choice. My husband could have divorced me and then gone and had an affair. He didn't have to do it while he was still with me. And so that's the piece that makes betrayal one of the hardest things to heal from. It's unlike a loss from, say, somebody died. You know, you can feel the grief and the loss of that person, but they didn't do that on purpose, where betrayal feels like it was done on purpose. So it does take longer to heal from that, and it's very hard. You can't go from, oh, my God, my world is devastated and everything I knew to be true is not, to I'm going to forgive them and I'll take responsibility for my part very quickly. If you do, you're fooling yourself, and you will hit a wall 10 years later, trust me.
Yeah, you're skipping some of the necessary steps. And you were talking about grieving. Do you think that there's a possibility that you're grieving when that happens too? Because in addition to whatever your feeling is of being betrayed, and I had an illness where I went through that betrayal that you're talking about with my body, the lack of trust of my body. And then I realized what I was doing and thought, whoa, wait a minute, you better make friends here because this is just a really unhealthy way to be thinking. But I think there's some grief there, too, that happens. At least for me, there was, because it was a situation that I thought I had always been comfortable with. I had always been healthy as can be. And this was a near-death situation that happened just like, damn, you know, and wow. I'm just going, oh, my gosh, how did that happen? How do I trust that my body is going to be there for me again? And there was also that grief because I'd never experienced it before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm so glad you shared that because that is so true. Most people don't think of it that way. I have two clients right now that I'm working with who just newly got diagnosed with a multiple sclerosis, MS. And the feelings that they went through, exactly the same feelings of betrayal that I felt in relation to my ex, right, and the infidelity. And you're right, grief is a huge part of it. So you have two layers. And grief is one of those things that you do have to go through it because what you have lost is what you believed would be. So it's, even though I was unhappy in my marriage, I still believed that this was the marriage I was supposed to have. This was the body you were supposed to have. These were the things into the future that you knew you were going to be able to experience, and all of a sudden those are gone. And so, yes, you do go through the whole process of grief, which is not linear, unfortunately. I wish it was. We all do, but it's not. It's circular. So you go round and round and round until you finally get to the place of acceptance. And then I like to add the last piece, which is a recovery, a reinvention, a point at which now you have accepted what was and what isn't anymore and what's gone, and you have this vacuum, this space that is just burning to be filled, and we want to fill it consciously not unconsciously. So that's where, again, coaching can really help, because we look at, well, what's next? What do you want to create in this vacuum that is now your life that you can do by design instead of default?
That is really quite amazing, really, and again, so empowering. So for those that maybe are just experiencing this, can you give maybe first steps of how, if they're just really at a loss of what to do and where to go and what to think about all of this, what are some first steps to kind of ease them on their path?
The very first thing you could do is something for yourself. Take yourself out of your daily routine, your atmosphere, whether it's go get an Airbnb, go find a friend you trust and you feel will just hold you and let you vent so you can let all of this out. I would say if you're not journaling, journal. It is probably one of the most purposeful and helpful things you can do for yourself. Know that it is okay to be angry. If people can't handle it, it's their problem, not yours. That does not mean you go throw things or you go and you act vindictively. No, but that you express, you get out this fire in your belly when you start to realize all the things that aren't going to be or that you wanted or thought you had that you now don't. And then the other thing is when people tell you to forgive, just smile at them and say, yeah, I know, okay. But know this. Forgiveness is not something that you can choose. It is something that occurs after everything else. It just happens. And you'll know it when it does because you'll feel it viscerally in your body. But forgiveness is not about them. You don't have to forgive them to heal. A lot of people have this connection between forgiving and forgetting and realizing, well, if I forgive, then I shouldn't feel this anymore. Not true at all. We feel feelings when we watch movies on a screen and we know it's not real, but we feel. So feelings are not going to be the things that are going to make or break us. It's what we do with that feeling that is, and that's the story that we make up in our head. So you can heal without forgiving them because they never know whether you forgive them or not unless you, for some reason, have to still have them in your life. But otherwise, you know, they're peripheral. The person you have to forgive is you, and you do that by allowing yourself to feel the feelings, number one, by having supportive people around you. If you can get help from a professional, whether it's a counselor or a coach, that's a great thing for you to do. It moves you through the process faster. And then finally, it is to suspend your judgment about you. Every time you hear that little voice in your head that's telling you terrible things about you, just say, yeah, I know, I know. Thank you for being there. I know you're trying to protect me. And just suspend the judgment so that you have the space to look at everything with an accepting heart and know that even you did the best you could in that situation. That's where acceptance and letting go comes in, because it starts with letting go.
So amazing. You are so amazing. I'd love to ask you, where do you see all this work that you're doing with people? How do you look at that when you kind of think of that as a legacy? You've got the book now that's going to be touching people all over the world. What does that look like for Allie?
My mission, my sense is that the world needs healing. And I mean, across the board healing. And that as much as we have been betrayed by ourselves, by men, by history, if we go all the way back to the beginning, we betray ourselves all the time. We are our greatest enemy. And so my mission is to help women to see that when they stop betraying themselves, when they really love and trust themselves, they can step into their essence and their true power. And when we do that as women, which is collaborative and intuitive and creative and nurturing, when we do that, we will actually not only heal the next generation, because we'll be raising children who are happier and healthier in less dysfunctional homes, but we also will be giving permission to our men to be who they were meant to be, the doers, the protectors. They're actually the caregivers, and they take the leadership and the action. But we as women, when we lead, we need to lead from our heart. We need to lead from our feminine energy, not our masculine side, because that will kill us and our relationships. And that's what I hope to be able to get out into the world. There's a lot of us out there saying this right now. For me personally, I feel like I have gone through the whole transformational experience and journey, and now my life is what I want it to be. I'm at peace with myself. I have found my forever love. I don't know. I want to teach. I want to keep meeting and working with people. And like everybody else, I want to live happily ever after.
Well, that is so fantastic. And I love that message for women, because that has always been the way that I have lived my life. And I've always felt that in order for women to be strong and successful, they don't have to be hard and they don't have to be men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is what you just shared. That's a really important message that not a lot of women out there aren't getting. And it's really, really important not to lose yourself and what your essence is in order for all of these things that we see fairly dominated by men in the world. We don't have to be like them.
No, and you know, it kills our bodies. It really does. It makes us ill. Up until about 50 years ago, heart disease was not a problem for women. It was only a problem for men. And now it's our number one killer. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
As we moved into that masculine part of ourselves. And competition is not how we operate. You know, when we raise our children, we don't have them competing with each other. And yet we operate from that place when we're out in the world, in business, in politics. You see it. And you know who hates it the worst? You know who condemns us the most? Women. We condemn each other.
Yeah,
so,
it's so interesting.
It's so
but there's a lack of authenticity there that I think women can detect, you know, and that's why the criticism comes, because when women are trying to be men, there's a lack of that authenticity. And other women can sense it, even if they're doing it themselves. You know,
absolutely.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. And it destroys marriages, too, because think of it, if the woman is in her masculine energy, and then she comes home and she stays in her masculine energy. Well, the only place the man can go unconsciously, he doesn't do this purposely, but he will fall into his feminine energy. And over time, we women don't like that. We want them to be sensitive, but we want them to be men. And we don't want them to be wimpy or too soft. We need to depend on them, you know? And so we have to take ownership of that. But that may be exactly why we now perceive men that way. And it's unjust. It is so wrong, because that's not who they are and it's not who they want to be. So we fix ourselves.
Yeah.
They fix them, you know? Hey.
That is so wonderful. Allie, this has just been delightful. Where can people go to find out more about this amazing work you're doing and connect with you?
Well, I think go to my website, and that's Coach Allie, A-L-I, Davidson.com. Can't get much easier than that. There's lots of opportunities there to get to know me, and I would invite people to just book a discovery session with me. It's a half an hour just getting to know each other and see whether we're a good match and if there's something I can do to help.
Oh, that's wonderful. Allie, thank you so much for the generosity of your time, as well as the generosity of this great information. And I just so appreciate you being here today. And this was really a valuable session that I hope everyone will take advantage of and run out and also buy the book.
Thank you, Vicki. I so appreciate your time, too. And I love that you do this. So it was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K-M-Y-B-I-Z.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.